How good it is to be in the house of God. Amen? How you doing, Billy?
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about you? Good. How are the rest of you? Good. I got to tell you, I'm glad, Leah, that you're obedient to God. You listen to Him, and because when we sang it through again, I felt like jumping up, but then it said kneel, so I was kneeling too. It was like the I love that we can worship God in our spirit, and He knows exactly what we're doing. We don't even have to do anything. I just love that. So it's great. Good to worship God this morning. A little boy was sitting on his grandmother's lap, and she was reading him a bedtime story. How many of you have ever heard a bedtime story? I feel sad for the rest of Right on. From time to time, he would take his eyes off of the book and he'd reach up and he'd just touch his grandma's cheek. And then he'd feel his own. And then he'd go back, and she was trying to read, and then she'd say, "What are you doing?" He'd say, "Grandma, did God make you?" "Yes, sweetheart. God made me a long time ago." "Oh," he paused. "Grandma, did God make me too?" "Yeah, yeah. God made you just a little while ago." God's getting better at it, isn't he? Please don't leave. There's a point to that. We're going to look at greatness today. I got to tell you that when we plan the service, when we plan to gather together, when we plan to preach the word, we plan well ahead. And we pray about where God is taking us and where God wants us to journey. And we're gonna look at greatness. We've completed our summer series. You asked for it. You had great questions. Some of you put more questions in there. And you put them anonymously, so I shredded those. But no, just kidding. No, maybe I did, actually, because I do like your name on that thing. But we often wonder how we can become great or how we can become successful. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 20, because we're going to start our series on what does it take to be great? What does it take to be great? Turn to Matthew chapter 20, and Matthew chapter 20, in your Bibles. It's in the New Testament, in case you're wondering. It's at the very beginning of the New Testament. You turn to Matthew chapter 20. And I was going to start at verse 25, but I can't. I got to start at verse 20. That's what God does. He changes it while you're up here. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What does it take to be great? That's a great subject to look at because, to be honest, we all want to be great. I don't know of anyone who wants to be little and insignificant. I mean, we may say we want to, but all of us really want to be great deep down. We want to be great at things. We want to be greatly blessed. We want to be greatly used by God. And I think if we are really honest, we all want to be well thought of, you know, in a good way. And that's not bad, as long as you don't let it control you. As long as you don't let what people think of you manipulate your decisions. We all want to be accepted. We all want to be honored. We want to be lifted up. But the key is that we cannot do that ourselves. We have to trust God to do that. So when I look at this passage, and Jesus calls them together, and he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them." There's another translation, the New American says, "Their great men, their great men use it to lord it over them." Uses tyranny and exercise control over people. And look at what he says, the next verse, "Not so with you." Not so with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your... Let me just hear you. Can you all say servant? Oh, that was good. So today we're going to unlock success. I hope you're okay with unlocking some success this morning, because unlocking success requires, first of all, serving. Like, I love this, where it all starts with good old mom, the mother of Zebedee's sons. And I could just almost see the scenario, if you kind of get it, because we've all done it. "Mom, I'd really like to be on Jesus' right and left in the kingdom, but we just don't know how we're going to get there, Mom. You know, Mom, I'd sure like a new car. You know, Mom, I just don't know how I'm going to afford a new car. Mom, I'd sure, you know, I'm getting tired of walking to school, Mom. I'd sure like to have a new car, Mom. Mom, how do you think we'll ever be a success? Do you think, well, I could maybe talk to Jesus. Would you do that? Would you talk? You come along, watch. You just watch and you learn. You watch and you learn from me. Because I'm going to show you how you can get great in this world. Come. What is it you want?" Jesus says. My sons, they want, they deserve, they've earned it. It's about them. You do know, right, Jesus? It's all about them. One should be on the right and one should be on the left in your kingdom. Do you get this, Jesus? Oh, she wouldn't say it like that. In her heart, she probably was. Jesus says, "You don't know what you're asking. Because what you're asking for is you're asking for your two sons to serve so much that they love those people around them, that they surrender completely to God's will, and they'll do whatever God asks them to do. And that might even mean dying." And Jesus could say it because that's what Jesus did. Jesus called them the great men, the Gentiles or the world or the unbelievers. The world has and produces great men, but they obtain their greatness. It's not the way God wants us to maintain greatness. And when you hear the word servant, and it's up there serving, you're going, "Oh, man," we don't usually jump up and down and go, "Hey, pick me." Or we don't go, "Amen," or "All right." Because we have a wrong idea of what servanthood really is. We only see it in terms of, well, if I serve, then maybe I will be great. Or if I serve, maybe people will pat me on the back. If I serve, maybe when I serve, then people will start serving me, and you know, I'll get it back. Or maybe we say, I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to be somebody's slave. I'm not going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff that nobody wants to do, cleaning up after everybody, doing that kind of stuff. But to serve is the highest calling. This is greatness. Jesus was the servant, and he says, whatever I've done, however I've acted, however I've treated people, you need to follow in my footsteps and do the same thing that I've done. That's tough. What's a servant? I mean, Jesus gave his life. Just, I'm spitting lots. I'm sorry, towels for the front here. Jesus gave his life out of love for people. They did nothing. They did nothing. Except want something other than what Jesus was giving. So they put him on a cross. The most horrific torture that there is. Because Jesus was a servant. Being a servant is really all about how we treat one another. It's very important how we treat each other. Did you know that? The Bible talks about that. How we treat others can come back to haunt us. It's very important how we treat each other. Do you know that? Turn to the person next to you and say, it's very important how I treat you. And you turn to the person, you turn back to them and say, and I want to improve. I mean, friends, you want your life to get so good, to be so great, to be such a success, just start treating people right, and you see what God does in your life. I mean, if you want the blessings of God to start chasing you, you just start treating people right, because that is what is close to God's heart. That's what is dear to his heart, is people. God is a people God. That is exactly what Jesus is getting at. You don't know what you're asking. Because you're going to give up your life for people. And most of us don't want to do that. Most of us don't want to serve. We say we do when we're in church. But it's different when we leave here. And I'm not just talking to you, because we're great at serving. I mean, don't get me wrong. But we're also on the internet, and they need to hear too. We all need to hear this. God is a people God. The Bible is full of instructions about relationships. Did you know that the Bible is a book about relationships? Actually, the Bible talks about three important relationships. My relationship with God, my relationship with myself, and my relationship with people. But if my relationship with God is not right, then my relationship with myself won't be right, and then my relationship with other people can't be right. Do you get that? I mean, if I'm living in sin and under condemnation, I have no relationship with God, way down deep inside I'm feeling bad and I'm feeling guilty about myself, and I know I'm not doing right, but I'm making excuses for it, and I'm doing it anyway, and then that causes me not to have peace with myself and struggling with myself all the time, and most of the time I'm just living this phony life and I'm putting on this mess on the inside and I'm trying to cover it up. And you know, a lot of weird people act weird because, or not a weird people, sorry. The weird way that people act is and react is because the mess that they're trying to cover up this mess, and so they're all kind of peculiar. It's amazing how we are when we don't have peace inside. But when we have peace inside, when we're okay with what we're walking through, if we're okay with where we're sitting, how nice we start getting. I mean, if my relationship, I've discovered this, if my relationship with myself is not right, then my relationship with other people is not right. And my relationship with myself is never right if my relationship with God is not there. I mean, God has clearly shown me, Dev, you know, you're not getting along with other people, including your family, the ones you love so dearly and close to you, because you're not getting along with yourself. And the bottom line, it, Dev, you're not getting along with yourself because you're not spending time with me and getting along with me. Because I've called you to do something, Dev. I've called you to do something, and you're running the other way. You don't even want to do it because you have another picture of success in mind. Is this making sense? Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
I heard three. Zebedee's sons, they wanted to be great. They weren't concerned with their relationship with God. They weren't concerned with their relationship with anyone else. They wanted the best for them. They wanted to be right. They wanted to be great. And Jesus says, you don't have a clue what you're asking for. I think the problem that we have in most people in society today in our world is we don't want to get involved. Like, we don't want to serve. When we hear the word servant, you know, we think, well, that's low. I want to be higher than that. I want people to serve me. I don't want to be at that place. And I'll tell you, when we're committed to the things of God, listen to this, when we're not committed, deeply committed to doing the right things, we will always do the wrong things. But when we're committed to doing the right things, our relationship with God is so absolutely there that we're okay with who we are, that we think about other people for a change instead of ourselves. And that's being part of the body of Christ. You can't be part of the body of Christ and not involved with people. And it's interesting because we think that, well, okay, being part of the body of Christ, I want to be in front. You know, somebody sings, we clap. Someone preaches. Great message. Somebody plays an instrument. You know, we're joyful, we're excited about that. But parents drop off their kids to the nursery and they pick them up. Nothing said. Children's church. Nothing said. We have four more spots. We have four more spots of where God can use you in children's church. Four more. You better make sure and sign up because they're going to go fast. Let me tell you, let me encourage you today. The body requires the unseen in order to survive. You cannot function without a heart. You can't live without a colon. You need a liver. You require many things in your body in order to function. A brain. I'm still working on mine, but the unseen is what's needed to function. And you have to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom to do those important parts of the ministry that are unseen. Or that what God has called you to. So that don't let anyone put you down. Don't let anybody make you feel less because they think they know how you should be doing your ministry. God is pleased when you take responsibility and are committed to doing His work. Amen? The world's great men, they don't ask nicely. They demand everything. They give orders. They don't issue requests. I do want to be great, but I don't want to be known as the ruler, the one who lords it over. I want to be like Jesus, the servant, the best example we can ever have. Well, success, when you're unlocking success, it requires not only serving, but it also requires surrendering. And I got to tell you, this is interesting. You can't serve unless you surrender. And you also cannot surrender unless you're willing to serve. You get it? Do you see it? I mean, I see what our Lord gave in order to be great. I think you see it too. He gave his life. He gave every right that he had. He gave up every bit of authority he possessed. He didn't try to claim anything. And that's why Christ could say, he that believes in me is free indeed. Because you don't care about anything else but doing what God calls you to do. You don't care about anything else but God. He is the greatest, supreme example of surrender because he was and is a servant. Did you notice when you do this? We often do this to typify surrender. You can't hold on to anything anymore. You can't hold on to what you want. You can't hold on to what your right is. You can't hold on to your things. You give it all up in surrender. And I think somehow we figured out, because our world has shaped the church to think this. Our thought is we need to hold on to what we have because we feel we deserve it. We seem to think that we have the rights to have it, and we don't want to serve until we get it. And that's exactly why Mama was going to talk to Jesus. Because my sons deserve this. They've given up everything for you, Jesus. They deserve this. I like what Dr. John Maxwell said. He said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. That's why surrender is important. It means giving up. It means letting go. It means not holding on anymore. How are you at giving? How many here, have you ever had a bad day? Yes, I'm looking at you. Have you ever had a bad day, anybody? Turn to the person next to you and say, have you ever had a bad day? You turn back to them and say, you sure have. I had a bad day once. I marked it on the calendar. Everything just, anything that could go wrong. We were traveling to BC, and maybe some of you know this. I may have shared this with you, but we were traveling to BC, and we were leaving after church. You know, church is the place you go. So you can pretend to be something else. And so we were, you know, we were getting ready and we were going, and it was vacation time. We were leaving after church, so, and you know how vacation times are. You all know how you vacation. I mean, this is how it is. Our children, I believe, were 5 and 7, something around that at the time. And so in the morning, I wanted to make sure that everything was packed into our Suburban and you know, we got to get to BC, but we had to do church, so, you know. Wake up, kids! It's family vacation! Come on, we have to get everything in the Suburban. Come on, put everything in. Hup, 2, 3, 4. Hup, 2, 3. You know what I mean? Those tender family moments, you know, you look forward to, you know, you're like a drill sergeant, relax on holidays, family vacation. It's family vacation time. Hup to it. Let's get going. Pack, pack, pack. Get your stuff. Why isn't this packed? You know, family vacation, really good time. Well, I thought I would speed up the process, and we were kind of loading up, and, you know, I opened up the doors, and we got all this packing and stuff, and I said, come on, let's move it, got to get to church, got to get going, you know. And I thought I'd speed this up, so I backed the Suburban out of the garage. I thought there's no harm in backing it out, and we can just keep loading it up. It's probably easier. But I want to give you a little point of advice. When you back a Suburban out of a garage with the rear panel doors open, you must make sure that they are closed. All right? As I'm backing up, I heard the crushing of metal. And I'm going, and it's funny how when you're going and everything moves in slow motion at that point, you're just backing up, and you hear, and you just kind of turn slowly, but you're still on the accelerator, and you're watching the door go, talk about an interesting vacation to BC with crushed panel doors, not from a collision, but from lack of surrender. You think I enjoyed the drive that day? I tell you, I was miserable. And I made sure that I was president of the club that day. Because miserable people make other people miserable. I was miserable. And anyone who traveled along with us, I made sure that they were miserable. By the way, that was only my family. And it doesn't take a friendly giant to figure out that you're not achieving anything successful or anything great when you're miserable. Instead of serving my family, those around me, I was telling them how they should serve me. Put those in. Get that there. Get going already. Surrender is when you quit looking after yourself and you let God do it for you. The world has its ways. The Bible also says that God has his ways. And he calls us to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. This is our acceptable act of worship. You achieve greatness when you surrender yourself to God. When you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means giving up what makes life easy for you. You give it up. You surrender. See, greatness can only come from God. But the world has taught us. The world has brought us into a thinking that greatness is what makes me feel good. Great success is what looks good for me. My way, my desires, it's all about me. But what does it take to be great? God. God. I wanted that video shown as we started worship this morning because it explains better of why we serve and why we surrender. Being who you are and not what you think you should be or being what someone else demands you to be. Surrender. This is your spiritual act of worship. I want us to look at that video again. And I want you to notice the words. And I want the lights out before we start it. And I want you to pay attention to this. And read it carefully. Because it speaks better of greatness than I could ever do. when you surrender it all, you begin to understand whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to surrender his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you need to surrender today your everyday, ordinary life. Maybe you need to surrender your everyday, ordinary life. This is an acceptable act of worship to God. And I'll tell you that when you do surrender your everyday, ordinary life, nothing else matters but God. Nothing else. You don't care about the worries that the world has. You aren't concerned about what people can do for you. You're more concerned about what you can do for God and how you can serve Him. So while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I'm going to ask you, if you want to say, God, today I want to surrender. And you have to understand what that means. That means you're giving up every right that you have. And you're letting God work in your life. You're free to serve. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed today, if you're willing to say, God, I surrender. I surrender completely everything. All my rights I give to you. I don't want to be like those Zebedee sons. God, I don't want to get in the way. I want to have a relationship with you again. Not a relationship that is based on what you can give me, God, but on a relationship that's based on trusting you because you know best. God, I surrender it all to you. I surrender my wants. I surrender my desires. I surrender myself. God, with your help, I do this. For I know this is an acceptable offering to you. If you're willing to come to God that way today and surrender completely to Him, I'm going to make this difficult for you this morning. Because surrender involves sacrifice, just like service involves sacrifice. If you're willing to say, God, I surrender it all, everything, my whole life, while you're seated, while your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, just stand up. Just stand up. Just stand up. Say, God, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. God, I'm giving it my whole life to you. My everything is yours. All my worries, all my dreams, all my concerns are yours, God. I surrender them to you. Just stand up if you're saying that to Him. Just stand up if you're surrendering. Just stand. Stand before Him. God, I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know where the journey's going to happen. But God, I surrender it to you. If you're saying that, just stand up. Maybe you're saying, God, I really don't want to serve. But today I know I should. I need help. Can you help me with that, God? Can you help me want to serve? Because I just want it all for me. If you're willing to say, God, I'll do whatever I need to do in order to serve you. Just stand up. Stand before Him. Stand before Him. Maybe you're saying, God, I can't take it anymore. I'm miserable, and I'm making everybody around me miserable. I need you in my life. to stand up before him and say, I need you. I'm done with him making everybody miserable. I'm going to ask everyone to stand with your eyes closed. Our God, we don't deserve to stand here. We don't even deserve, Lord, a relationship with you. We don't deserve to be accepted. God, we've been shameful at times. We've ignored you. We've only wanted what we want. God, sometimes you're just handing us something that's better and we don't even want it because we have a plan. God, today, we surrender to you as a church. You know best. We don't. God, we give up our desires. We only want your dreams. Father, we come to you as your people, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing before you, embracing the grace you have for us, knowing that we are accepted and loved because of that grace, because you served. May we surrender to you, God, not just now, but forevermore. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.